All right. Here we are. Kurt Frangl with Leading LDS, and I am here today with two of the most infamous LDS podcast hosts on the planet, the hosts of This Week in Mormon.
We're infamous.
That's right. So Al Doan and Jeff Openshaw, they host a weekly podcast, which hasn't been posted this week. I'm just saying, guys, it's Thursday. It's Thursday.
We recorded it like midnight last night. We got into this lengthy discussion about mortgages. It was just, it was crazy.
If that isn't a teaser, then I don't know.
Yeah. Tune in for more on financial advice. Stu Zorbin and Jeff Openshaw.
Yeah. So they host a weekly podcast, This Week in Mormons, and good stuff. And I just thought, hey, let's talk leadership for a little bit. But I want to maybe have you guys explain, give some background about your podcast, what it is you do, why people should tune in. But maybe just give us a background on what is it you do and why. And either one of you want to start off with that.
If I may. We've been doing This Week in Mormons for over 3.5 years now. We do a weekly show.
That is so long.
Where we do, 175 episodes. Episode 176 goes up tonight. Every week we talk about whatever's going on in the news that is relevant to the Latter-day Saint community and anyone interested in it. So we do that, and we also do our Sunday School Bonanza podcast.
Most of the podcast is just Jeff and I goofing around. If we can accomplish one goal, the idea is that we're trying to take some of the seriousness out of Mormonism and enjoy what we do and just kind of have a good time with digesting the news and talk about. I mean, sometimes we're goofy. We're a peculiar people.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's entertaining to look at. And sometimes it's interesting and intellectual, but we run the spectrum.
So how did you guys start this up? Whose idea was it? You guys have great chemistry during the podcast as you banter back and forth and so forth. So how did it come to be? That's all I have.
We got started back in the day. I was actually really interested in podcasting. I was a huge fan of Leo Laporte over on This Week in Tech, who's been doing podcasting. He's like the godfather of podcasting. Jeff and I took a trek. We made the Hajj to the Mecca. We went to the Twit Cottage, where he records his podcast.
That's up in Petaluma, California.
Which was great. And so we went and saw how he did it. I mean, we just had no idea what we were doing. And then we thought, I wonder if there's a demographic, if there's Mormons that are listening to podcasting. And if there are, then I wonder if we could build something that was interesting for them. And so that's kind of where the genesis of it all came from. We thought we could give it a shot.
Nice.
And on top of that, I think a lot of it was because there were Mormon podcasts, but they were either very serious church-produced ones, of just talking about, interviews with Dallin H. Oaks, or a lot of them were from sort of the more, I wouldn't say the Jack Mormon community, but, ones that cater a little bit more to the perhaps disaffected members, ex-members, stuff like that. Which is all fine, and there's a great place to have discussion there. So we wanted to fill the void of comedy from faithful members who don't mind laughing at ourselves at the same time.
Right. Yep. Yeah, and I can't remember exactly how I found your podcast, but I remember I stumbled across it online and I started listening to it, and at first I was like really leery, like, oh, they look like these are a bunch of antis, like I better be careful here, And then once I started listening, I'm like, oh, the return missionaries. Like, okay, maybe this
That's
is
That's all right. Al was once asked in a sacrament meeting, so you're still active in the church, right?
I was like, yeah, Jeff introduced me. This is my co-host on This Week in Mormons. The guy's like, so what's your story? Do you love Jesus still? And I was like, man, come on.
I can read that through you.
Appearance of evil, Al. Appearance of evil.
Nice.
It's not my fault. I was born this way. I've looked this way my whole life.
Nice. So how do you guys go about finding the stories every week? Is it mainly just like Google alerts that you have on every LDS term, or how do you go about it?
Yeah.
Prayer.
We do a lot of that. Yeah, a lot of I'm feeling lucky searches on Google. I've found that a lot of the cool stories come through just like, the people, there's like very active social shares, and you get the Mormon version of that where they're the guys that share everything Mormon hashtagged, and I get a lot of my stuff from there. I mean, it's people, now we have a great community of people that kind of suggest stories to us throughout the week, and they'll push them up.
That's true.
It's cool.
Nice. And I just kind of, I'm an amateur at this, obviously, but I, before before we did this hangout today, I just did like Googled LDS bishop in the Google News search. Yeah. Uh-huh. And it's like, man, every week a bishop is getting in trouble, I think. And but it's so funny too, because currently right now I'm serving as bishop, and it makes me think like I could like in 30 years become this awful person and do like an awful thing, and they'll still call me, oh, an LDS bishop did this thing. Like, it sticks with you the rest of your life if you do anything, right? Yeah.
Wouldn't that be awesome if that was true with every title? It's like help desk support person / CEO. It's only with religion are you always the bishop. And man, the media, like mainstream media type stuff, they eat that up. We just had one last night that'll be on the show when Jeff gets it posted up eventually.
Hey, was like, I have a job.
Who was that? Amy Adams? Was that
Amy Adams, the actress? Yes, raised Mormon, no longer
Lois Lane.
So she was reported. It's like Mormon actress can't quit the great beliefs of her church and randomness. I mean, but the headline is just completely misleading. And you're like, wait, what? That doesn't work.
Yeah. The best thing about that website is they also had an article about LeBron James coming out of the closet, which was
it made us question the validity of the story.
Very credible, it sounds like. Nice.
Apparently, he came out to his friends and loved ones and fellow coaches, so nice. Players.
Nice.
What can you do?
Yeah. So, do you find like certain stories? Like, I mean, do you just kind of filter out all the bishops getting in trouble that are getting arrested week after week?
We talk about a lot of that. There's a lot of bishops that accidentally show their private parts to people, and bishops that scam people out of money, and bishops that what's been interesting about reporting on the church is you realize, I mean, we are millions and millions of people. And, the Lord does not call bishops to be a bishop, right? He doesn't call an elder's quorum president to be an elder's quorum president. He calls these just clueless 28-year-old, 35-year-old, 50-year-old people to become a bishop or to become an elder's quorum president. And I think in the church there's plenty of room for that, right? I mean, you come in and it's like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm going to try my best, and then I'm going to fail, and then we're going to try again and keep trying. Sometimes your failures are very public when they are like, obviously you should not be doing this, which is the case with a lot of the bishop stories that we'll see. But often it's just, it's people that expect perfection and don't get it and then are like, well, this church clearly isn't true. That's not the way it works at all. I mean, the Lord gives us opportunities to grow and serve and become better, and that's the way it's supposed to work. And so we shouldn't be surprised at failures and stuff.
Yeah. So what are some? I don't know if maybe you could tease a few. You mentioned you're going to have you're going to talk about this week a bishop that is in the news or was once a bishop. What are some other stories in relation to leadership that you have focused on? That maybe are some of your favorites or any ones that come to mind?
What do you got, Jeff?
A lot of messed up bishops. There was one, I remember there was this one a couple of months ago, a branch president in a Spanish-speaking ward or branch down in, like, Spanish Fork, Utah, something like that. Do you remember the stories of that, Al, how he, like, creepily walked into a room with a 15-year-old girl and just, like, put his arms around her?
And then came up behind her and hugged her.
Hugged her and just said, like, you're so beautiful. Just really weird, creepy stuff. And just like, ah, guy, why? I mean,
The ones that, I mean, bishop stories that break my heart are the ones where, like, they have sins confessed to them, or not even sins, but, like, somebody will confess that they were molested or that a crime happened or something. And the bishop tries to resolve it without bringing in the proper authorities, right? And it's so, I mean, the rules around that or what's right and wrong around that is so hairy because bishops, I mean, a bishop's role is complete confidentiality, right? When I go and talk to my bishop, in my mind, there is like a client attorney privilege that cannot be broken no matter what, which really isn't the case. And so I go in there and confess my deepest, darkest secrets to you and expect confidentiality, and then in the bishop's mind, I'm sure they're just like, oh well, I gotta respect that, and we'll try and work through this. Sorry that you accidentally killed that guy, but we can make this better.
Well, all of us have to repent for watching the Doodle Bops, Al. It's not, you're not the only one. It's okay.
The Doodle Bops?
Don't feel bad. I watch them at the gym. It just changes my life.
I have no idea what that is.
What a great way to spend a Saturday morning. Another one that I think about, this wasn't church leadership, but it's still leadership in a way. A member of the church who worked for LDS Family Services. You might remember this from years ago, Al. It's been a long time since we covered this story. The guy was a therapist with LDS Family Services, and part of his therapy to his client was convincing her to have relations with him.
Yeah. He just sweet-talked her, and, well, the Lord has revealed this to me.
Yeah, basically along those lines. And that's a really interesting example of perversion and, like, abuse of authority and trust and all that kind of stuff. I mean, that's...
I bet he was so excited to get that call. He was just like, finally, Bishop, now I make my move. No, where everybody else was like, son of a bee, we're a bishop. There goes my life.
By the way, Kurt, I want to commend you for being a bishop and somehow having the time to do this entire podcast website thing that you do. I don't.
Oh well, I'm interviewing somebody right now, so I multitask. So
oh, good.
Just doing a quick worthiness interview while we do that stuff.
With David McCullough's greatest book sitting right behind you, and Place of Refuge. What else do?
Does it make me smarter? Do I look smarter?
I feel smarter. You judge by committee.
You ooze erudition. You're doing
literally. You know I'm at the public library doing this, so that's why I may be whispering. But anyways, so as you can see, I mean, This Week in Mormon does not, you know, they hit these issues hard, and they'll talk about whatever it is in the news, regardless if it's, you know, leadership, or if it's in the news, it's in the news, it needs to be addressed. And so
that's actually true. That's a good point. We're definitely pro-church, but we've never shied away from wanting to talk about something, even if we don't agree with it in the least, you know, but it's worth a discussion.
So. I think it's really helpful, though, because I've had this conversation. I was talking with a mission president a while back, one of my mission presidents, and we were talking about how I've managed to stay active. Obviously, I've turned 30 this year, and I'm a single guy, and most of the single dudes that come home from missions and get to about 30 or so, you start to have these, like, I don't know, you start to drift. They just do. And I mentioned TWIM is one of my, This Week in Mormons is one of my key factors in staying active, because there's a lot of crazy stuff that happens out there. And the fact that I am forced to digest it each week and figure out a coherent response, like how do I feel about the gay marriage issue, or how do I feel about what we're doing with the Boy Scouts right now and all this other stuff. And it's not just getting sprung on me at the water cooler. I'm actually thinking through this and saying, okay, well, this makes sense and this works here. It's actually been really, really helpful for me in my testimony, because I'm not like, I don't know, I feel much more prepared just knowing what's going on out there rather than finding out ad hoc.
And that's a good point. I mean, we really are living in a generation where you can't just ignore it and not process it in your mind. And it's almost healthy, though it's an uncomfortable issue, to think about it, talk about it, and process it so that you can see how it fits into the larger scheme of the church and the gospel and so forth. So, yeah.
Jeff, you were telling me about never mind. I completely forgot what I was going to say. A story that Jeff shared that was great. It was wonderful.
Oh, man.
That was a great moment. We'll go with that for you, Al.
I'm sorry. I was like, wonderful.
We're not editing any of this. That's in there.
So. No, we shouldn't. Anyways. People should know the real me.
Well, let's shift gears a little bit. We kind of got a flavor for as far as, you know, the type of stories you talk about, so forth. And I really enjoy it. It's just kind of my weekly recap on different things. And it's just kind of entertaining to hear what's in the news and hear you guys respond to it. And I guess I kind of have the advantage because I understand your personalities and so forth. And I'm just a mysterious man now that you've met. But
well, thank you, though. That's very kind of you to say.
So, but it is fun to just, you know, you guys don't tout yourself as experts by any stretch of the means, but you're like, hey, we're just two guys that are living a life and we've got some things to say, you know. So anyways, tune into that. But let's shift gears a little bit. I want to talk more about kind of get your perspective on simple leadership matters. And going back to what Jeff said about, you know, why I do this, obviously I'm busy. I run my own business. I'm a bishop. Hey, let's get a leading LDS website going and spend time on that. But the reason I do it is because when I came into leadership, I realized I had no clue what I'm doing. And don't tell anybody, but I still have no clue what I'm doing. And it's the reality of this church is, like you said, they just call anybody. Like, you can be a plumber, you can be a businessman, you can be unemployed, right? And here you are, here's the keys and the mantle, have fun with it. And you go to a bookstore, and they've got shelves and shelves of business leadership books, but they've got no reference for, in the context of LDS leadership. And so I thought, well, I wonder if I could create a platform to do this. And so I don't care if you've been a bishop or, whatever. I know, Jeff, right now you're teaching primary, right? More power to you.
Yes. Warping the minds of the youth.
But I just want to create a platform where even we listen to somebody who's interactive with leadership. And I know, Al, are you currently the Elders Quorum president, or are you?
No, I am released as of 3 weeks ago.
He moved. I thought something was different about it. No,
there's a certain darkness about me now.
So, maybe let's talk about that, Al, for just a minute. What did you learn? What was your experience? What was surprising to you serving in that capacity and so forth?
So the thing that was surprising to me is that with as many Elders Quorum presidents as there are out there, and as much emphasis as we put in a lot of this, there are so few like tools to get this stuff done. I come from a technology background, so I look at everything and I'm like, there's a problem. I should build something to fix that. And so like getting in there, I mean, you're given the role, a pen, and maybe the folder they send around each week, and it's like, all right, go work with that. So I had over 90 elders in my quorum. And it was a singles ward, and we had to have about 10 people that moved in or out each month. And, I mean, it was this crazy amount of flux that was happening constantly in there. And, really, really kind of an interesting place to be as an Elders Quorum president, because I had never been an Elders Quorum president. I felt like I was safe because I move around so much. I'm very transient. And so there's a bishop that saw right through that and tied me down, and there I was. But it was, I mean, when it comes to like leading, the leadership roles, the Lord takes care of all that stuff. I mean, when I set guys apart, I mean, I had so many non-fluencies in my speech, I felt really goofy. I'm like, and here's this guy, and he's going to be my second counselor. God, if that's cool. I mean, I felt so awkward up there going through a lot of this. I didn't care. I knew that I was doing I was making the right moves. And I'm always fascinated, though, when you sit down and you call people to, be home teachers, or you have somebody that you're maybe a little bit concerned about and you're trying to figure out the right setting for them. And you take a minute to pray about that individual, and you wait for an answer. And you're sitting there with your two counselors and your secretary, and you're all kneeling down in prayer, actively looking for the solution to this problem, and what are you supposed to do? And then you all get up and you have the exact same impression. I mean, it's a great testimony builder, right? It's a great affirmation that the work of the Lord is a real thing that He cares about and that's alive. And you don't, you don't get that. You don't get that in very many walks of life as a single Mormon schmuck, you know. So like the excuse to have a real reason to go to the Lord with that was wonderful. And so there's a lot of benefits to it. The price you pay is a ton of extra work, but it was definitely something that I appreciated, having a reason to get back into the scriptures. You have a purpose again, and it's so much more meaningful to get back in there with that. So I enjoyed it.
Cool. Right on. Well, I remember I was in the student ward where I met my wife. I was called as Elders Quorum president. That was really my first taste of a leadership calling. And I remember just spending hours at the computer, like making sure all the home teaching assignments were right. And everybody had a companion.
Somebody built something that like you plug in email addresses and it autofills assignments and you can drag and drop, and it emails that out with a survey every 2 weeks to see how it was done and returns the results. People.
Yeah, why can't home teaching be reported like SurveyMonkey or something like that? So
oh my
perfect.
Gosh! Why are we still here, people?
I bet there's a guy at the church office building that gets that same phone call every day, and he's like, listen, we're working on it. Like, we're working with what we have. We're a big ship here. It's hard to turn, you know?
I feel that we should be in the era where if I like someone who my home teaches status on Facebook, that should count as a visit.
And it's just automated. It's done.
It's a social sharing thing. If you share one of their posts, it automatically goes back, and you get $5 at the Gap.
Or if you write on their wall, home teaching's wonderful. I hope you're well. Perfect. It's great.
Nice. Now these are practical ideas that I'm looking for. This is good.
The streamlining of the gospel, yes.
So what do you think about that? I mean, maybe we can start with you, Jeff. Obviously, you know, you're at least an elder, right? That's been involved in.
No,
I came out totally wrong.
I'm the first Levite to serve a mission.
Wow. But no, I'm just sorry. That sounded completely as it shouldn't have.
No,
but
I love that.
Is awesome.
I love it, and I would let you judge me in Israel any day.
May I refer you to the talk? Only an elder back in the day. It's worth a read. Anyways,
okay.
So with home teaching, like, this is something as an Elders Quorum president, people get thrown in there and they just, like, that becomes the focus and their, like, obsession of, like, I will be the one that will get 100% of home teaching, right. And then they, like, bang their head against the wall when it doesn't happen. So what's your perception on the program, how it's approached by leaders and so forth?
I think, well, I'm a very anti-number kind of guy. While I appreciate being able to quantify data because it's the easiest way to view stuff and figure out where we're at, that's true. But I've found the quorums I've been in that have experienced the most success with home teaching have been the ones that were less focused on trying to crank out the numbers, and the ones that really had developed, and I don't know if that was all in the presidency, and some of that was just circumstantial, you know, just who was there, the quality of people. People who were just dedicated to actually getting it done and visiting people and caring about others. And especially when, you know, I did most of this in a singles ward. When you're in a singles ward, it's very easy to become very self-centric about a lot of stuff and forget that the greatest joy comes in trying to serve and be with others and not make your excuse for home teaching to try to score a date or get free cookies or who knows what else, right? But
sometimes
I think
it works.
Sometimes it does work. But I feel that when we instill that sense and that desire to serve. You know, it's like anything else, like the scriptures say, you know, how, I believe in Alma, where it talks about, like, why would we not have a great desire to share the word when we have a testimony of it? And just like when you're a missionary, if you should be pumped up, I think being a home teacher is the exact same thing. I mean, I've got a huge testimony of home teaching because I think it is one of the most wonderful ways to affect change and be a positive and have a positive effect on someone else's life. And not doing it is just, I mean, we have things happen, life happens, but really, how great is it to be in there and check in and help other people know that they're cared about? Even if you don't share a lesson or you don't do it out of the book, we had a home teacher growing up who still home teaches my mom. All he ever did was brought sandwiches to my family. But my mom's a divorcee, and it was great, and we knew he cared about us, and that was enough for what our family needed. So, you know, I think it's great to think out of the box when it comes to home teaching and what it really means. It's not just numbers and doing a lesson. It's just being friends with people and looking out for them.
I mean, that's absolutely right. If the focus could be on just being someone's friend and not sharing a message at all, I feel like that's accomplishing more of the purpose of home teaching. The first presidency message is sort of like it's an icebreaker, right? It's you don't have anything to say. Well, take this and go and share that if you have nothing else. But right. Like, I mean, some of the best home teaching visits I've ever had have been like, what, you know, me and my companion, what verse of scripture would be meaningful to them right now? Let's go in and share that. Get out of there in 10 minutes. You know, don't overstay your welcome. Make it something where they are excited to have you there. Appreciate the time that you spend, and you don't kill their whole afternoon. But like, they know if they call you, that you'll come and help, and you're not just going to come and try and chat awkwardly for an entire Sunday.
And I think you guys can speak to this because we got a bishop and an Elders Quorum president. I've never been in either of those positions.
You wouldn't know anything about this.
I don't. But I do feel like the first presidency message is great. And obviously it's like the easy way to hopefully say they'll do their home teaching because we're catering to them. We're saying, here's what you do. You put the pieces together and get it done so we can get it done. But like Al said, I found my best home teaching visits have been forget the first presidency message. I want to share whatever I've been praying about or thinking about. Do a lesson out of the scriptures. You know, that's – if the first presidency message is great and it applies, then great too. But don't confine yourself just to a very specific set of motions in order to accomplish home teaching.
Right.
Nice. So before we wrap up here, Al, did you, as Elders Quorum president, did you try anything like crazy to get home teaching done? Or was it just stand up there and make everybody feel guilty? And
No, you know what helped? There was no stand up there and be guilty. The two things that I did that I really liked was one, we talked about being spiritual minutemen, right? And so as we near the end of the month, and we tried to do this is hard to execute though, but we would try and You know, like the phone calls were more, hey, how is your home teaching looking this month? Are you going to be able to get it? And if not, tell me and I'll come and help you do it. You know, or like I'll take whoever you're not able to get. And me and my presidency were very open to that. And we just, you know, the conversation wasn't, you need to do this. It was, are you going to be able to do it? Because if you're not, we need to know because somebody needs to talk to them. And the people, I mean, often they would say, yeah, I can do it. I'll get there. I'll make sure that it happens. And that was much more relatable to me as, you know, as the Elder Scrolls president. They were committing in a way that it wasn't me taking away their power or, you know, their free agency. They were excited to do it. The other thing that helped a lot was we would do sort of a mingle type of thing at the beginning of each month. You know, they do a break the fast or something in a lot of singles wards. And I would offer to buy the, you know, the soup or the snack or whatever, and we'd get up there and introduce, you know, like I would have all my guys go and find his home teachees and, you know, eat a bowl of soup with them, give them a scripture, share it with them. Because what I found was most of the people that weren't home teaching weren't guys that like go every now and then. They were guys that had never been and they didn't know who they were. And it was awkward already. It was like, it's like when you sit down next to somebody on an airplane or you get into the elevator next to someone and you don't say anything at first. And then 2 minutes in, you decide that you should say something. And but now it's already weird. I can't say anything now. That's how all this home teaching was, right? Like they'd been called, they'd already had that moment where they should have and they didn't. And then they were just embarrassed. And so to help break that ice, I mean, that was something that helped a lot.
Yeah. And that's a great point. It's not that they're necessarily not motivated. It's just that they don't know how to do it. I mean, what do I do now? It's awkward. So how do I break the ice and so forth? So that's
good. I'm raising my hand.
Let's hear it.
I don't want to go away directly from home teaching if you don't want to, but I've found in my experience one of the other great things that I've experienced with leadership in the church is I think, you know, all too often, yeah, we get, like you said, we get hung up on doing home teaching. Every president goes in there, they want to get it done. But some of the best experiences I've had in Elder Scrum is when I've had a president who cared about home teaching, but you could tell he put in hours of prayer thinking about the needs of his own quorum. And that's one of the main things. I think we get so hung up on trying to get done with home teaching. We forget that part of being a president is to have a flock and to guide that flock and help them. And this president would got up once and he's like, I've been praying about this and I really feel like there's a spirit of inadequacy in this quorum. And he spent an entire year working on that to try to make his quorum like feel confident in themselves as far as disciples of Christ. And it was fascinating because we saw the home teaching numbers and visits, whatever, also kind of went up as that went up at the same time. Because you saw the members believing more in themselves and having stronger testimonies and being comfortable with who they were.
Dude, that is so true. So much emphasis is put on home teaching because it's something that businessmen who only speak numbers are able to grab onto.
It's
right?
A deliverable. Yeah, exactly.
Well, so you have a lot of bishops that, how are you doing, president? Give me those home teaching numbers, and that's something that you can hand over. But you're absolutely right. There's so much more to be done than just home teaching. There is, I mean, taking your guys out to lunch and being able to know each of them and their situations is such a huge part of that. That like people, I mean, we don't focus on or as a bishop, right? I mean, there's so much more to what you do than what you can fill into the little shaded squares on your sheet. Right. And you know, when you're able to focus on that, gosh, like the members, I feel like the members of your quorum or the members of your ward feel the sincerity come through when you take the focus off of the one thing that shines on you and makes you look good, and rather you're invested as like part of the flock.
Nice. Cool.
Good.
Well, good discussion.
Good call, Jeff.
Preach. That was
good. Cool. All right, guys, we've covered it all. Anything else, any other leadership wisdom you have to hand over to the internet world?
Well, I was the fellowshipping committee co-chair once.
Co-chair.
The key to that is don't get on a committee with a woman. That's the key to that.
There's the takeaway, folks. All right. All right.
What of marriage then, Jeff? What of marriage?
That's a different kind of committee.
Oh, I see.
Different kind.
And there's a whole other podcast right there.
But I'd be happy to do this again, Kurt, if you ever want.
Okay. Well, these are interesting discussions. So,
yeah,
and you know, regardless of what calling you're serving, and you're not just an elder, you are an ordained elder, and it's fantastic. But these are great to just get some people in a hangout and say, what do you think about home teaching? Or, you know, what do you see work and so forth? And I feel like the more collaboration there is in the church, the more we'll be able to realize, like, how we do this. So, anyways, listen to these guys every week. How can you guys be found? Give us your social media spiel.
Let's do the usual halves. There's a facebook.com/thisweekinmormons. You can find us at the real Twim, not the fake one, on Twitter.
Or you can, of course, go to our website, thisweekinmormons.com, leave a comment, we reply to them, or contact at thisweekinmormons.
And lastly, we do have our own YouTube page. We're also found on Stitcher Radio, iTunes. And please keep the lookout for Sunday School Bonanza, which is like kind of my baby that I love, because it like just like Twim is good for you, Al, and like filling your spirit. Every week I do a podcast with other people going over gospel doctrine lessons, and I love it because it totally puts me in a great place. So.
Yeah, and it's also a good. They're no more than like 10 minutes. So I've listened to a few.
10 to 15 minutes usually. Yeah.
Good recap. You walk in there and they're like, "Wow, this guy must have actually read the manual."
I surround myself with people who know more than I do, and I just try to lead the discussion. But the point of that is how often do we actually prepare for gospel doctrine with the manuals like we're supposed
Never.
To? So we want to do a service that, hey, maybe you'll listen to this and it'll get you thinking and actually be more involved in your lesson. That's the whole point. So
cool. All right.
Kurt, thanks a lot, man.
No problem. Thanks, good Kurt. To talk to you guys. So we'll be listening in. Yeah.
Thanks, Kurt.
See ya.
Bye.
All right, see you, man.